All right. Still in the kingdom of God. We'll probably be here through Easter, and then we'll go to the next series. 12, Kingdom of God. And there's still much more to say. Subtitle, Who is Greatest in the Kingdom of Heaven? So I want to deal with Matthew chapter 18, where the disciples came to Jesus saying, Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And then Jesus called a little child to himself, set him in the midst of them, and said, Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself as this little child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. So the disciples have a question. Who's greatest? And what we notice here is that the disciples, not Jesus, introduces hierarchy. Start talking about, who's the greatest? And if there's the greatest, then there's the least, great, and on down the list as it would go, as if the kingdom of heaven functions like the kingdom of men. Because that's the way they're thinking. In the Old Testament, when King David had his mighty men, you remember he had mighty men. Matter of fact, he killed one of them in Uriah the Hittite. Most people forget sometimes that Uriah the Hittite was one of David's mighty men. It was very egregious what David did before the Lord. But you became a mighty man based upon your exploits, based upon your heroism, based upon what you could do for the kingdom or had done for the kingdom. And if you had done great things, you'd become one of these mighty men. But that was the kingdom of Israel. That was the kingdom of David. This is the kingdom of heaven. This is different. The hierarchy doesn't exist here as one would have it in the kingdom of Israel. And so the disciples are thinking that this kingdom of heaven is going to work the way, the kingdom of Israel worked. We want to know who's going to be the greatest, because you remember James and John came to Jesus, said, We want to sit on the right and the left hand of your throne. Yeah, and Jesus had to say something about that because he had to teach them, right? In the parallel or synoptic gospel of Mark, we read this concerning this Matthew 18. Then he came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, What was it you disputed among yourselves on the road? So Jesus noticed that they were arguing about something. They were having a conversation, but they kept silent. For on the road they had disputed among themselves who would be the greatest. So they had a little bit of argument. They're going around about, who's going to be the greatest. And the question is, why didn't the disciples answer Jesus? Because it says that they kept silent. Now here, Jesus asked them a question, and the disciples kept silent. They were like, "Well, we really don't want to talk about that to you." And is it because they felt wrong? Because they were desiring to be the greatest, desiring to be first? The disciples could have been arguing about anyone in their company, not just the apostles, the 12 apostles, but they could have been arguing about, is there any who's going to be the greatest out of this whole company? Because remember, Nathanael was there this whole time too. He wasn't one of the 12, but Andrew brought him to Jesus back in John chapter 1. Nathanael had been there the whole time. So they could have been talking about anybody. Who's going to be the greatest in this great company that's surrounding Jesus? But the Synoptic Gospel of Luke clears it up for us. Where in this passage it says, Now, then a dispute arose among them as to which of them would be the greatest. Okay.
which of them? And Jesus perceived the thought of their heart, and he took a little child and set him by him. Now, this makes very clear that they're talking about when we'll see again when Jesus calls the 12 to himself. This is, they were disputing amongst the 12, not the larger group of disciples. So Luke makes that quite clear. Never mind the fact that what human beings are really great at, in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, we read, then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great. That's, yeah, that's what man's really great at, right? But then also in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, God told Abraham, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. God is the one who makes us great. God is the one who sees to it that we are in the position and the place where we ought to be. So in Mark chapter 9, the synoptic gospel, a passage to Matthew 18, we read, and he sat down and called the 12 and said to them, this lets us know that it was the 12 who were arguing amongst themselves, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Here we go. So Jesus now is going to answer the question that they didn't want to reveal to him about them arguing. He's going to answer them. He says, if anyone desires to be first. So here we have Jesus, the King of the kingdom, who is the first and the last, and he occupies all positions in between. He is best situated to teach the disciples about what it means to be great. And he says, if anyone desires to be first. Now, you know that all humans desire to be first. I'm always reminded when I'm driving down the road and you're pulling up to a light and there's three lanes and there's someone in front of you, you know, and you pulling up to the light, but the urge you see the person pull out from me and these lanes are empty, right? And the urge to pull out from behind here and get over here. Why? Because we want to be first. I'm reminded of the Olympics when they have the gold medal count and America wants to be first. I mean, I was this last Olympics that the Americans had goals, and at the in the Olympics, people still getting mad. America's like, we need that. I'm going if we didn't get the goal. I'm like, oh Lord Jesus, is this us? Is this really what we are? No, we have to be first in everything. And any red blooded American will tell you, yes, we do. Why? I'm like, oh, God, forgive us. Did somebody else have some gold? Well, they had a bronze. Come on, you know that's right. Come on. Human beings want to be first. But Jesus is first. Jesus is first. But here, he teaches them that if they want to be first, they're actually going to be last and servant of all as he is. And remember, he's the first and the last. That's who Jesus is, right? Humans want to be first, period. They don't want none of that last business. Come on now. You know it's right. Jesus said in more than one place, he said in Matthew 20:16, So the last will be first, and the first will be last. For many are called, but few are chosen. Jesus said this more than one time in his ministry. More than one place he said it. He said it in Mark 10:31. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. We see it all throughout the Old Testament. We see it in the story of Joseph. You know, his brothers conspired to kill him. Then they sold him into slavery. And then he was no more as far as it, you know, related to his relationship with his father. And he's in the dungeon, suffering in the dungeon. And he went from being Dan, as far as his father's concerned, to being number two in the kingdom. He's his number one son, his son that saved him from dying from starvation in Canaan. You know, God, he was the last, but then he became Christian, you know. So we see this all throughout the scriptures. So Jesus says here, if anyone desires, he didn't even say you are first. He said, if you desire to be first. What? Well, he just got all of us. Desires, the desire to be the greatest or most prominent takes you to the back of the line. And everybody said, hallelujah. Here today, I've been waiting on this. No, everybody said. Yes, the desire to be the first shall make you the least and the servant of all. And that's where we ought to all want to go, because Jesus, who was the first, became the last and servant of all. Hello. He who was the first became last and the servant of all. We saw it in the book of, in a negative context, in the book of Esther, chapter 7, when Haman was feeling good about himself, because he had been invited to a banquet with the king and queen. Just him all alone. He must be great. And he's like, oh, yeah. And by the end of that banquet, they had hanged Haman on the gallows. Yeah, he went from being first to being last in a negative context, right? So as Jesus spoke these words to his disciples, he was the very embodiment of first and last, being the first and the last. How and why? Well, Jesus lived the very words that he spoke to his disciples. He lived the very words that he spoke. Paul put it, he put it this way. Oh, excuse me, in John chapter 13, let's go there first. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I've done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do these things. Jesus said, there's a blessing, amen, in serving one another. Jesus wasn't, I know people today talk about foot washing. Jesus wasn't, he wasn't talking about foot washing necessarily. He was talking about serving one another. Serving one another. That we come together and that we're brothers and sisters in Christ and we come to serve one another. Right? And let's be clear. I come to wash your feet, but you starving and I give you no food, I haven't served you. Come on, Jesus wasn't talking about, he wasn't instituting a sacrament. You know, he wasn't ordaining a sacrament. He was talking about serving one another. And he did serve the kingdom of God, the children of God, through his sacrifice upon the cross. Paul put it this way, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, my goodness. Now that, you know, we were never in the form of God. We were in the image of God, but we were never in the form of God. But Paul is going to take us and show us Christ, who was the very essence of God. Come on, look at what he did. The very being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant. There it is. He who was in the essence of God, one with God, took on the form of a servant. Jesus said, he who would be first is to going to be last, last of all and servant of all. And Jesus then led by example with his own life. Taking on the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Remember, Jesus said that one must humble himself like a child, amen, in the kingdom of God. Think of it. He left heaven, eternal glory and fellowship with the Father, perfect eternal fellowship with his Father. He left it all to give his life a ransom for undeserving sinners. Amen. 2 Corinthians 8:9, where it says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Jesus lived it out, what it means. He was first. Hello. He was first and took the last position and became servant of all. Jesus said, if we desire to be first, you have a desire be first, you're going to be last and servant of all. That's how it works in his kingdom. The very opposite from this worldly system that we live in. Look at our government right now. Ask our president, vice president, or, you know, attorney, ask anyone up in the cabinet, would you give your life for these Haitians that you said were dirt? Would you humble yourself and serve them? Not even give your life. Would you do something good for them? They'll tell you no. No, we don't want them here, and they got to get out of here. There's business. Hello? No, because the world knows nothing about the kingdom of heaven. But Jesus, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Why does Paul say even the death of the cross? Well, it's because no one in human history died the way Jesus died. He said, but other people were crucified. Oh, yeah, I know. The Romans crucified 20,000 people at one time. Hey, there was some barbaric people talking about. No one died the way Jesus died. No one in human history died with the weight of the sins of the world upon them. And yet he didn't deserve to die. Hello. Yeah. No one died the way he died. But Jesus said this in Mark chapter 10, verse 44. For whoever of you desires to be first shall be slave of all. For even the Son, he is saying, he is tying himself with slave of all. He says, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. He did not come to have slaves minister to him. No, he came to be a slave, to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus was the servant of all. And he told his disciples, if you want to be first, you're going to be last and the servant of all. Just like I've put myself last and the servant of all. And yet, what do people do? They come into the kingdom and they want a big name. I'm bishop this, I'm apostle that, I'm evangelist this, I'm this, that, and the other. Say, no, God help us. Lord Jesus, help us. Jesus is the suffering servant of Isaiah 52 and 53. You can read it if you don't know it well, but Jesus is God's suffering servant. Yeah, he who was first was also last, and he gave his life a ransom for all. So, the greatest in the kingdom of God is not determined by human effort. Not determined by human effort. We'll see here again in Matthew 18. Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Is greatest
in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said again in Matthew 23:11, but he who is greatest among you shall be your servant. The world turns all of that, is the exact opposite, stands it on its head, right? Trump did an executive order against the law firm. You know what the law firm did? They paid him millions of. I said, "Oh yeah, yeah. Well, we're going to give you what you want." They exist to serve him. The kingdom of heaven, exact opposite. Yeah, but no one would consider that greatness. Excuse me. The person that serves is on the bottom. They serving the top. No. That's not the way. Look. God in heaven, the scripture says that he upholds all things by the word of his power. God is by his power serving all of us right now. Every breath we breathe, the sun up in the sky, the birds. I went on a walk yesterday, Lord Jesus. The trees were shouting praise. The grass was giving glory. The birds was doing their thing. I said, my God. And he upholding it all by the word of his power. God, you're literally doing all of this, and people don't praise him for it. People walk around mad because they don't get what they want. Hello. I said, Lord Jesus, have mercy on us. Father, have mercy on us, because we're blind as we can be. No, God himself is sustaining all things. But the world says, no, all the servants on the bottom, and they live to please the king, to please the president. I got news for you. It doesn't work that way. Read the book of Daniel about Nebuchadnezzar and all the rest of them. So here, Jesus, he placed a child in their midst. Now, what's interesting about this is that a child has no ability to make himself strong, has no ability to make himself great compared to these grown men. So Jesus takes these men now who want to be great, and he puts a child in the midst of them. Now, what ability does a child have to make itself great compared to these men? I'll tell you what, absolutely no ability. Has nothing. It has no means to make itself great. Yet Jesus put the child in their midst. When was the last time you went past a playground and you heard the children are sitting there all arguing about know who gonna be the greatest? You ain't never heard that. A playground just the other day, coming up 28. I love hearing the children play on the playground. You ever listen to it? I mean, they running and laughing and screaming and having fun. Tell you, it's just, it do your heart good. It do your heart good. If you wrestle with depression, you sit next to a playground. Oh, they just enjoying God's goodness and his beauty. They don't know God did it, that maybe some of them do, but they just having his time. So Jesus takes a child, he puts it in the midst of them. And he says, if you don't humble yourself like this little child, if you humble yourself, you're greatest in the kingdom of heaven, right? So Jesus informed his apostles that they must change their mindset so that just as a child can't force its way among men, but is placed where it is by the hand of God, so must they. So must they. What is Jesus teaching them? Jesus is teaching his disciples that you don't become great based upon what you do. You become great based upon what I do, what God does. Amen. Jesus put this child in the midst of these grown men and said, now this child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because Jesus said, put him there. God put him there. It's not where you put yourself. It's not where the disciples, James and John, said, we want to sit on the right and the left. Jesus said, no, that's prepared for those for whom my Father prepared it for. And, you know, greatness in the kingdom is not about what we do. It's not about how much I can flex my muscles. No, it's about where God places you.
And Jesus placed that child right in the midst of these grown men and said, no, what you want doesn't matter. It's what I do with you. It's where I place you. Hello? God help us. Back to Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you. Remember what Jesus told the disciples? He said, unless you are converted, change your mind. Change your mind. Paul puts it this way. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Jesus didn't run away from being last. Jesus didn't run away from being servant of all. He embraced it. He embraced it so much so that he was willing to die on a cross. And the rest of the scripture behind here in verse 10 says, wherefore, or therefore, God has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name. Amen. Come on now. Hallelujah. And so the way to become great is by being last. The way to become first is by being last and servant of all. Once placed by the Lord, it is our duty to receive one in the name of the Lord. So when we look at Mark 9, again, we see this again. And he sat down, called the 12, and said to them, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last of all and servant of all. Paul even said that we're to prefer one another above ourselves. Oh, God. Who do we serve? Come on. Who do we think we better than? We need to go serve them. Make ourselves last of all. Make ourselves servant of all. Hello. He took the little child, set him in the midst. Notice what Jesus did. He said, and then he did. He said, if anyone desires to be first, he shall be last and servant of all. Then he took up a little child and set him in the midst. And when he had taken him, the child, in his arms, he said, whoever receives one of these little children in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. When he had taken him in his arms, the significant point here is Jesus taking up the child in his arms, because the child's position was determined by Jesus, not by his ability or lack thereof. The disciples were wanting to know, who's going to be the greatest? What we got to do to be the greatest? You know, Jesus said, no. It's not based upon your ability. It's not based upon what you do. It's based upon what I do. And he set that child in his midst. He exalted that child. He put that child where that child wanted to be in relationship to Jesus. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 15. He says, for I am the least of the apostles. Now watch this. He says, I am the least, not the first. He's talking here about the resurrection. He says further up where when Jesus was raised from the dead, he was seen first by Cephas, then by the 12 apostles, right? Or the 11 apostles. Then he was seen by a multitude of over 500. And he goes on and on. And then he says, last of all, he was seen by me. Paul said, last of all, he was seen by me. He was already in the last position. Paul was. Then he goes, he takes up again and he says, for I am the least of the apostles. He put himself as he was. He was the very last one to see Jesus. He was the last of the apostles. Right? He says, and who am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God, but the grace of God. Yeah. By the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Than they all who? All the apostles. He says, I labored more than they all, yet not I. He's not going to take the credit. But the grace of God which was with me. Who would dispute the fact that Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament, would be considered the greatest of all the apostles. No one would contend. But he was the least of the apostles. But Christ, his grace working through Paul, made Paul labor more than them all. It wasn't what Paul did, it was what God did through Paul that mattered. God did through Paul that put Paul as perhaps the greatest apostle that we consider today. You see the work of God? It was the work of God. Remember I said that James and John asked to be set at Jesus' right hand and his left hand. And in Matthew 20:23, Jesus said this: you will indeed drink the cup, because Jesus said, you don't know what you're asking. He says, are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink up? And they said, yeah, we're able, not knowing what they were saying, you know, giving assent to, but yet they did. James died in by the sword of Herod in Acts chapter 12. John would have died in captivity later. He said, you will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. But to sit at my right hand and my left hand, those are places of honor, authority, dignity, recognition, greatness. But to sit at my right hand and my left hand is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father. Kingdom of heaven, God is. And that's why the disciples disputing them on the road was a moot point. They were arguing something that they had no control over. Hello. So what are we to do? What are we to do? Well, when God determines who's going to be the greatest, we just humble ourselves. Hello. This is what Jesus said. If you humble yourself as this little child, you'll be greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So greatness, and I pray this every day for our civic leaders. I pray for humility. God help. God help us. God grant us humility. Pray for the church, right? Because we're not all that great. I know we think we are, but we're not. We literally are not. Jesus said, again in Luke chapter 9, he took a little child, set him by him. Look at what Jesus did. Jesus took this child and set this child by him. Yeah, it's proximity that Jesus gives you to himself, not that you take for yourself. It's the proximity that Jesus gives you to himself, right? That matters. And he said to them, whoever receives this little child in my name, where I put this child, you must receive where I have put this child. Jesus is saying, you must receive where I've put this child, what I've done in this child. You must receive and humble yourself. So the child was set next to Jesus by Jesus. The one who is not fighting for position, but is set next to Jesus by Jesus like a child, receives what God gives him humbly, right? And for whomever God does that to, that one knows that it was not my ability. Like Paul said, it was not me. It was the grace of God in me. It was the grace of God working through me. Right. And so if we humbly if Paul recognized that and Peter recognized that about Paul, said that they gave Paul, they said, when we recognize the hand of God upon Paul to go to the Gentiles, they gave him the right hand of fellowship. And they said, yeah, you go to the Gentiles. Peter went to the Jews. Right. Which was in Israel and a couple and the diaspora. But Paul went to the Gentiles, which was the whole known world at the time. And they recognized and humbled themselves because of what God was doing through Paul, Barnabas, and others. My contention is we ought to do the same. We ought to do the same and not lift ourselves up. Jesus says, He who is first, who desires to be first, will be last of all and servant of all. My prayer is that the Lord will help us to function and be satisfied right where he has put us. Hello. To function and be satisfied right where he put us. Amen. Any questions or comments on the teaching? We thank you all for coming on today. We pray God's blessing upon the balance of your day and this week that he's given us. And we'll stay in touch by the grace of God to encourage one another and strengthen us.
Amen. You will say amen, Sean. Say amen.
Amen.
Oh, Sean. Sean said amen. Amen.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
And pray strength. Go one lead, then another one show up. I'm like, Dad, Sean, Dad, pick him up at one, then Kendra bringing Benjamin back tonight. So thank you. You're absolutely right. I'm taking care of grandchildren. Hey, man, he see y'all all. I'm sorry, my camera, Quake, who don't feel bad. My camera ain't hooked up on mine. That's why I can't go camera, but I can hear everybody.
Okay.
He sees everybody. So he's like, me, my wife, he keeps saying amen. You see everybody? Say hello.
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 All right, then. Y'all have a blessed one.
Amen. You too. Y'all have a blessed week, okay? We'll see you next week.
God bless. Bye-bye.